Last week we talked to you about the word, the confession part of faith. When I teach on confession, there are five areas that I look at. I look at confession unto faith. What is that? Joshua chapter 1, the Lord told Joshua to meditate in the word day and night. And so we're supposed to meditate in the word of God. And part of meditating is not only reading it and looking at it, but it means to meditate means to mutter. And to mutter means to speak. And so one of the things is when you're first learning the word of God and meditating the word of God, you know, the word of God says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. And so you need to get understanding from the word of God. And so faith begins where the will of God is what? Known. So you can't just have faith for anything. And all this stuff of, well, I just believe. You just believe what? Well, I have a right to believe whatever I want to believe. No, you don't. You have a right. Oh, did I mess somebody up? You don't have a right to believe whatever you want to believe. You don't get to make this stuff up as you go on. Well, the Bible says work out your salvation. No, that's not what that means. Work out means it's on the inside of you and work it out. Okay. It doesn't mean you get to figure it out. There's one way. Well, even in the word of God, there's so many interpretations. Yeah, but there's a right way. And all of us, I don't know everything, and you don't know everything. Anyone who says they know everything don't know everything. But there is a right way to interpret everything in the word of God. We're all just still learning. Amen. I'm going to get off on all that. But you can't just believe whatever you want to believe. As a believer, you need to have, how many know in order for something to be scriptural, you need what? Scripture. And so when you say, I believe, you ought to say, the word of God says. And that's why I believe this. Not just I believe. Well, I just believe. Anytime someone starts with I just believe, I'm like, oh my, here we go. Because the word of God is where faith begins, where the will of God is known. And so until you know it, then you have a confession unto faith. And then there'll be a day when you'll have a confession of faith. What is that? That's when out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. Jesus said, you know, he talked to us about saying things and not doubting in our heart. And so there's a confession of faith like Romans 10, 9 and 10. How'd you get born again? Y'all remember? Who's born again? Anybody born again? Most everybody's born again. Except for every week we're getting people born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. So you ought to bring your friends and family. Something is a cooking around here. Hallelujah. People are getting born again, coming back to the Lord, getting filled with the Holy Ghost every Sunday morning. Hallelujah. And so, but how did that happen? Well, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says if you believe in your heart one particular thing, there's many things to believe. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus died on the cross. But in order to get born again, you have to believe a thing. What's the a thing? That he was raised from the dead. You have to believe that he's alive or you're not really saved. You can believe Jesus went to the cross. That's important in all that he did. And we respect the work of the cross. But new birth comes from raised from the dead. Because he's alive. Oh, somebody shout, he's alive. Woo! Not just at Easter. Hallelujah. He's alive every day. He's been resurrected every day. He's alive so you can be alive. And when you believe that, the Bible says, and you confess that with your mouth, you become born again. There's a confession unto, you become righteous as when you confess that. And then when you said, so that's the one we're looking at. But I'll just throw these others in. The words are very important. And I know Pastor Robert was talking about things that people don't like. And one of the things people don't like is too much talk about confession. I've had people say to me, you put me in bondage. I didn't put you in bondage. You're already in bondage. I'm trying to get you out. Well, you just make me be careful of all my words. I didn't make you be careful of nothing. Either the word of God says it, life and death is in the power of the tongue, and it says what it means, or it doesn't mean anything. And if you start tearing things out you don't like, you're not going to have much word left. You don't get to pick and choose. So our words are powerful. Amen. And you can steer, James says, your whole life. With this small rudder, you can steer your whole life. And then I like to talk about words that have to do with your authority. When Jesus in Mark 11, he said that whoever shall say unto this mountain, that's really more confession unto authority. When Jesus spoke to the storm and he said, what? Peace. Be still. That's using your authority. The Bible says whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, that's authority. And when you use in the name of Jesus, commanding like Jesus with the fig tree and mountains and storms and fevers and dead bodies, that's the command of faith. And you really won't get to the command of faith unless you're good at confessing the word yourself, because that command of faith has a lot of oomph behind it, and you believe in your words because they're the word of the Lord. And then the other thing just happens, if you believe this, the Bible says the angels hearken unto the voice of the word of God. So you don't try to be commanding the angels around. You just speak the word and they'll hearken to it. And you may not see it, but it's real and it works. And so we looked at confession of faith. Remember last week I gave you assignment. Were you all here for your assignment? Did you do your assignment? Did you monitor your self-talk? Because remember the woman with the issue of blood. In Matthew's account, she said within herself. A lot of times when we get to church, I can make you say the right things. You're sitting next to somebody, you know, we're all word people up in here. And you know, how are you today? I'm blessed. And then you get to work, how was your weekend? Well, you know, my brucitis and arthritis. And see, you can do it for an hour and a half. But it's the rest of the week that gives us all trouble. It's not good enough to have your words right at Cornerstone. When you get on, okay, kids, now remember, we don't talk about anything except what the Bible says while we're here. No, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks all week long. You can't erase in an hour and a half what you do all week. And a lot of that is self-talk. I told you just about myself, and I still have to work at it. I used to use negative, mean talk to myself to keep me in line. I degraded myself so bad, nobody else had to do it. So sometimes, you know, it's just self-talk is big, but this woman used it right. And so we got to change it and start using it right. And if you self-talk to yourself wrong, you need to correct it. And that has to do with casting down imaginations and every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. But she said within herself. So see, your confession is not for everybody else. You don't have to prove anything to us. And you are not everybody's mouth monitor either. Now, you should give some people to help you. You really should. You should give people in your life help you monitor your mouth. I have some friends. I tell this story all the time. And we were at Arby's. I don't know why. I'll never forget this one. But we were just talking. He was a minister friend of mine. And we were talking about something. And I said something, just kind of what I saw, something. And he said, is that what you really believe? It was my friend enough to say, you talking wrong, brother. And I appreciated it. It didn't make me mad because I gave him that right in my life. But you are not everybody's husbands and wives. You need to get one another permission. And you need to give them permission to help you, because what you say affects how they live. So you need to cooperate. So this woman had a confession within herself, and she said, if I can but touch. So faith comes by... and hearing by a rhema Christos. So the logos becomes a rhema, and you got to actually hear from God. How do you hear from God? You meditate. You have confessions unto faith. You look at the word. It becomes real to you. And then you believe. Where do you believe? You believe in your cardia. You believe in your heart. You believe in the center of you. You need to renew your mind. You must renew your mind, but you do not believe God with your renewed mind. You believe God with your heart. Jesus said, don't doubt in your heart. Remember, we looked at doubting. What is due? Going back and forth. Most of your problem is not unbelief. Most of our problem is doubt. Doubt does not mean the absence of faith, but where there's doubt, your faith will not work. Let's ask Peter. Help me, Jesus. Remember, as he was, right? He grew afraid. So what do we got to do? We got to make sure we hear something. Listen, when you hear the word, what happens? Faith always comes. But it's not enough. That's just the beginning. Because remember, James said by the Holy Ghost, if you're a hearer only, then you're deceived. Really, that's self-deceived. Because you think hearing is enough. We got a lot of hearers only. But you got to be a hearer, and you got to be a believer. Believe in your cardia. Where do you believe? In your cardia. And then what do? You got to be a sayer. You got to be a talker. You got to be a speaker of the word of God. And so, then remember, we've been looking at the one with the issue of blood a lot. She did what? She heard something. She believed something. She said something. She did something. And she got something. Amen. She heard something. What did she hear? She must have heard if you can touch him, because that's where her faith was. What did Jairus hear? He heard if you can get him to lay hands on you. What did the centurion believe? The centurion believed you can get him just to say something. All three people got results based on different beliefs of Jesus and what he does. Because he can just say something. And he can and still does use the laying on of hands. Amen? And you can just get it on your own, kind of stealth. Right? All because based on what you believe. And see, remember what I was saying is there was a whole group of people around, right? Well, there was a whole group, and everybody was touching Jesus. You remember? They was up on him and touching on him, and one woman snuck in and got something. The power, the virtue came out of him, and what did Jesus say? Who touched me? And what did the disciples say? Everybody's touching you. So what are the everybody's doing? Y'all listen, this is real important. What are the everybody's doing? They're doing exactly what the woman did. They're doing exactly, they heard something. How do I know they heard something? Because they did something. But their doing didn't get anything. Why? Because they didn't mix faith with it. They were trying something. They were trying something. Here's JC Jesus. Just touching all over him and trying to get it. They need it. They want it. Desire's not enough. My body hurts. I need help. It's not enough not to receive. They were trying. They heard something. They may have even said, hey, I hear Jesus is by. Let's go. Let's go touch him. Let's go get something. Let's go try. Let's go see if we can get it. And they all tried it, and what happened? Nothing. So what are those people? They're echoes. They're not voices. They're not believing. They heard something. They heard a testimony from somebody else. They tried to do the same thing somebody else did, but it didn't do them any good. It just made them frustrated. Well, what's so special about this woman? Jesus liked women better than he does men? What's so special about this woman? Did he just like her? He chooses favorites. He's got favorites. No, he said to her, your faith has made you whole. So, James chapter 2. I forgot to call Wesley today, and I don't know who's up in the booth. Do we have the Weymouth, the Good News, or the International Standard Version? Any of those three things make the screen go up and down like a yes? No, I don't know. James chapter 2. Put a thumbs up on the screen. I don't know. We need a signal. Hallelujah. Peck on the glass up there. Jump up and down. James chapter 2. I'll read it out of the King James first. James chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and has not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister, now this verse 15 starts an example. It's an example, okay? Everybody say it's an example. It's an example of what faith does or does not look like. Faith is not in the, it's not talking about faith, a person of faith gives to the poor. let's read it. A brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food. Verse 16. And one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you don't give them those things which are needful for their body, what does it profit them? This is an example of what faith looks like that has no corresponding actions. So if somebody, I always use this illustration, in Illinois during the winter it can get below zero. If somebody on the highway, they walked, you know, about half a mile to our house, which happened before, their car broke down. If they were in their shorts and a tank top because they were driving up from Florida and they were in Illinois and suddenly their car died and now it's zero, and they knock on my front door and they've got their shorts on and their tank top on, and I open the door and they're going, can you help me? And I say, be warm. Be clothed. And I shut the door on them. What does that profit them? That's what it's talking about. So this is not a, this is what, how many know it's good to give to the poor? Jesus said, but that's not what this is. This is an example of what faith looks like that doesn't have any corresponding action. It's worthless. It doesn't do any good. You said, Pastor Mark, you said faith is worthless. Stick with me. It won't manifest. You can hear it. You can even say it. Think you believe it. But if you don't act on it, it's DOA faith. Dead on arrival. Now, I know people don't like that blunt, but this is something the Lord's taught me over the years of you've got to have corresponding actions with your faith. You've got to speak the word. You've got to believe in your heart. You don't try to get saved. You get saved. Amen? So verse 17, even so faith, if it has not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe there is one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. The devils believe there is one God. So there's devil faith. I don't want no devil faith. Amen. But you will know of a man that faith without works is dead. Do you have any of those three translations? We don't have it. So the Weymouth, I like it. Thank you for your help. I should have called last night. Weymouth, the Good News translation, the Weymouth, which I want, Wesley, wherever you are, I want the Weymouth from now on. The Weymouth, the Good News, or the International Standard Version, I'll say it this way, faith without corresponding actions. So because most people think, when you think of works, and then it gives you that example, they're thinking, if I have faith, I've got to help the poor. And Jesus said, if you give to the poor, you've given to God and he'll repay you. But that's an example of what faith without works looks like. So the Weymouth and the Good News translation bring it out this way. It's called faith without corresponding actions. So if you said it this way, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man have faith and have not corresponding actions? So the corresponding actions are what you believe. That makes sense, because all throughout the Word of God, especially in the book of James, what does it say? You know, so we're supposed to be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. So there's always an action. There's an action. If you believe something, there's going to be some corresponding actions. Now, again, not just actions for action's sake. Don't raise your hand. I'll raise mine for you. I've tried to make God move by my actions, and I had no faith. I thought I believed the right thing. I was saying the right thing, and I thought, well, I'm going to do this, so he'll have to do this. But he didn't do this, because my corresponding actions were an effort in my flesh to show God that I believed. Now, this is adult stuff in the room right now for people who are wanting to walk by faith. Because there are things that look like faith, there are things that sound like faith, but they'll just leave you frustrated. Because faith in God always works. And the Holy Ghost, the teacher on the inside of you, will help you. He will help you. I don't know about you, but he helps me with my words. If my words are wrong, there'll be something on the inside. Is that what you believe? If that's what you want? My actions, are my actions lining up with my words? Am I manifesting fear in an area? He'll help me with that one because I've battled hard on that one. So when that one starts to pop up again, he'll let me know that's fear. That's fear. And what does fear do? It leads to doubt. What does doubt do? It causes your faith not to work. So this is so important. So the Weymouth says that faith without corresponding actions is dead. Then you go on, verse 26 of James 2, 26. We'll look at that. It says, for the body without the spirit is dead. How many of you know that when your spirit leaves your body, your corpse, you just have a corpse now. It's dead. So that's why I'm bold about this, because verse 26 is bold about this. So like your body is dead when your spirit leaves, so faith is also dead if it has not corresponding actions. Now listen to me. We've gotten somewhat better as a body of Christ because we've been taught, you know, say the word three more times than you believe and speak the word, speak the word, speak the word. But you've also, and some people say speaking the word is corresponding action. I would say that's limitedly true because there's always an action. Speaking the word can be part of that action, but if that's all that was necessary, the Bible would say all you need to do is talk. And there is sometimes that's all you need to do is talk. But when it comes to receiving some things, you're going to see in the Word of God, there were actions. Listen to me. Tithing to me is a corresponding action to what I believe. I'm not trying to get God to do anything. I'm grateful for what he's done. I see it in the Word of God, and it's my corresponding action to what he said. It's my action. I do believe that if I tithe, I do believe if I give you 10%, that you're going to take care of my finances. I firmly believe it, and here's my action. It's not just chatter with me. It's not just talk with me. Not to downplay talk, because you know how big I am about that. But faith without corresponding actions is what? Dead. All right, that's a good introduction. Let's go. Hallelujah. So let's look at Acts chapter 14. It's all right if I slow down, just spend some time on this stuff on Sunday morning. How many of you want to walk in the promises? Because God's not withholding. He's faithful. It is the will of God your body be healed. It is the will of God that your mind not be tormented. It is the will of God that you have a wonderful career and that you're blessed to be a blessing. It is the will of God that you have, as a husband and wife and a family, you have heaven on earth. It is the will of God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. It is the will of God that you walk in authority over the devil. It is the will of God. It is the will of God. So what do we do? Well, this is a key here, Acts chapter 14. Verse number 8. And there sat a man at Lystra, impotent in his feet. He was crippled from his mother's womb. He had never walked. The same heard Paul do what? Speak. How does faith come? Paul was speaking. What do you think Paul was speaking on here? I was thinking he might be speaking on Jesus is the healer. They heard Paul speak, who, steadfastly beholding him, so Paul's preaching, and the man's crippled sitting there. Paul's looking at him, and look at this. And perceiving. Where is perceiving? It's in the inner. Paul's preaching, and all of a sudden, Paul has a knowing. Not based on outward circumstances. The man's not jerking his legs. The man's not trying to get up out of a wheelchair. There's nothing in the natural, but Paul perceives that this man had, past tense, faith to be healed, past tense. But the man is still what? Still crippled. But he has faith. But he's still crippled. But he has faith. He's perceiving by the Holy Ghost, the man who heard him has faith. But he's still crippled. He's still sitting there. Verse 10, then Paul said with a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. Some people say this is the working of miracles. This is not. The man had faith to be healed. Same heard Paul speak. The man had faith to be healed. Paul perceived it, yet he was still crippled. If Paul walked away right now, the man stays crippled. If Paul, there's faith in the room, the man's got it. If Paul, Paul, we need to come over here. If he leaves him there, he's crippled. Because there was not a connection yet. And Paul said with a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. I can't, I'm crippled. The man had a choice to make right here. The man's got faith. So Paul's not just saying, hey, get up. Let's prove everybody that God is real and he's a miracle worker. And there was nothing going on. Because if that's what happened, the man couldn't have moved. But the man had faith because he heard Paul preach the word. He's got faith in his heart. I'm telling you, most of the time, you and I, we've got this faith in our heart. We're supercharged. We've been maybe even saying the word. But this last part is really, really important. And I think where it's where a lot of people maybe in this room, in this church, are missing it. We're not getting the action from the Lord, the corresponding action that matches our believing in our heart and our saying with our mouth, we've got to do something. Hallelujah. He said with a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. And he did what? He leaped and he walked. But he was crippled and he had faith. But when Paul helped him out, because Paul understood, you've got faith. Now exercise it. You've got faith. Exercise it. It was the man's faith, not Paul's faith, and not the gift of the Holy Ghost that caused this man to be healed. Amen. I was someone from our church. They were living overseas, and we were visiting them, and they needed a building to start a church. And so I called a prayer meeting in the house, and so we had a prayer meeting. And man, the Holy Ghost moved, and we were praying out things, and they needed a building, and we believe God sent them there, and they needed a building because the will of the Lord was them to have a church, and they had a big children's ministry, and they needed a building. We prayed, and we got done praying. I said, well, let's go. And the man said, well, let's go where? And I said, well, let's go look. He said, look for what? I said, a building. We just prayed. And so let's go look. And I said, Manila's, oh, I already told you where it was. So it was Mark and Verna. So Manila is a big place. And so I said, well, what's on your heart? And he said, well, this section. I said, well, let's go look. He said, now? I said, yeah, right now. So we're going now? I'm like, yeah, we're going right now. Because what am I doing? Corresponding actions. Because if we need a building, Manila's full of buildings. And there ought to be one. At least we can get it into a location of where. So they already had on their heart kind of the region. And so I went and looked, and so we were driving around. I was praying, and I was like, this building came up. I'm like, well, what about that one? And like, well, that's on our heart. That's the one that's on our heart. But it's really, it was an empty bank, and I think they're going to want too much money for it. And I said, well, let's call the owner. And he said, now? And I said, right now. And he's like, do you know the owner? Yeah. So they got a hold of the owner. And next thing you know, they're having church in there. They had it all the time. I was just there. And that's why you need faith friends. How many know? Everybody needs four crazy friends. Everybody needs four crazy friends. Well, I don't have any crazy friends. Well, you be a crazy friend and you'll get four crazy friends. You'll probably have 20 crazy friends. Amen. You got to be a crazy friend. You got to be a faith friend. You can't be the one receiving all the time. You got to be a faith friend. You got to show yourself friendly. Come on, how many know that man that was lying on that mat, he was paralyzed. And Jesus was preaching in a house. And the Bible says the power of God was present to heal. And so they got there and they couldn't get in the house. And so what they do, while Jesus is preaching, I want to see the replay. Because when you're preaching without a microphone and the house is full, and suddenly somebody, because they didn't have like the shingles we do, they're probably pulling off clay pots some roofing that's making some noise, and Jesus just smiling and teaching because he's finally, somebody's going to get something. Hallelujah. He was always happy when somebody got something. And so they took off the roof. Now, you know this, that man that was lying on the cot, he believed God. Because if we got four corners of a rope letting you down, if somebody messes up, you are face first in Jesus' lap. Hey, Lord. He believed. And the Bible says this. Did it say Jesus heard their faith? He saw it. He saw it. He said it saw their faith. So sometimes you need some there. Everybody. You know, I know people think, well, I got to get it on my own. You can get it on your own, but it's good every once in a while to have some people around you. Amen. He saw. You can't see something unless somebody's doing something. Well, they lowered him down. Well, pastor, should, you know, if someone wants healed, should they go up to the top and lower people down? No, not unless there's room in the building. There's plenty of room. There's room in the building. Until we get full out, maybe. But no, there's room in the building. But that's just what they had to do. But they weren't going to turn away. They were getting what they came for. And Jesus saw their faith. He saw their faith. So when Jesus saw their faith, he pronounced something. I got scripture, but we're running out of time. He saw something, and he told the man, he said something to make everybody in the room mad. He said, your sins are forgiven. Woo, it's on now. Your sins are forgiven. Take up your mat and go home. Then he said, which is easier to say? Your sin. So he's equating healing and forgiveness of sins. Same. Same to Jesus. He did it all on the cross. And see, even that's a big thing with people today. It's not same. No, it's not same. To Jesus, it's same. What's going to happen on the cross is you're going to get your sins forgiven, and by the stripes he's going to take, you're going to be healed. And besides that, he's going to become poor so that you can become rich. All great exchange. Which is easier? He said, so, you know, then he said, you're healed, take up your mat and go home. He saw their faith. Paul perceived this man had faith. And he had to have an action. The woman with the issue of blood had an action. Jairus had an action. He went and got Jesus, and Jesus was coming to his house. There was an action. Y'all love Hebrews 11? Hebrews 11, the great hall of faith. I want you to see, I don't have time to read it all. I'm just going to... Can you put up Hebrews? We'll start, if you can keep up with me. Hebrews 11, 7. Noah being warned of God of things not said, moved. He moved with fear, prepared. He moved and he prepared. He moved. He heard something from God. He believed something from God. Everybody say, he moved and he prepared. Well, Pastor Mark, he had to because it was he needed to. Okay, that's Noah. Abraham, verse 9. By faith he sojourned. We don't say sojourned. By faith he left. He moved. He moved from where he was to the land. He did what? He moved. He didn't wait on the other side. Until God got it all right, he moved. He moved at the command. God talked to him. He heard God. He believed God. And he sojourned into a land that he didn't know. He moved. Verse 17, Abraham offered Isaac. He offered. These are verbs. These are corresponding actions based on what God said. Now listen to me. Yes, you've got the logos. Yes, you've got the word of God and faith comes. And yes, you speak the word, you believe in your heart. and you doubt not, and yes, you speak the word of God, but when it comes to corresponding actions, you need to know what, there's some things that it would just be like, make sense, this is what I do after what I've read, I'm a doer of the word, and so I'm just going to do it. I am going to walk in love. I'm going to, how many know it's an action? I walk in love. I smile. Better than that. I've got to do something. Abraham offered Isaac. It wasn't until the offering that God was able to intervene. Joseph, I like this one, verse 21, 22. But Joseph gave command about where his bones were going to go. So he died in faith, but he didn't want to be buried in Egypt. He wanted to be buried at home. And he knew they were leaving. He believed God that they were going to leave and go back. And so he said, when you all go, don't forget my bones. That's some faith. Moses' parents hid. There's action. Wasn't enough for her to hit God to tell mama, you got a special child here. You got to do something. And I believe that we don't have all the account, but I believe that woman was led of God how to get Moses where he needed to go. In other words, though, listen to me. People say, well, God did all that. No, God initiated all that, but somebody's got to respond. And the responders, I have a message called first responders. That's what you got to think of yourself. I'm a responder. I'm a responder to the Holy Ghost. I'm a responder to the Word of God. Moses forsook Egypt. He kept the Passover. Joshua shouted. Rahab hid the spies and let them down outside of her condo in the wall. Action. Action. Without corresponding action, your faith is what? Dead. Dead. Let's get some more in here. Blind Bartimaeus, y'all remember him? Mark chapter 10, look at verse 46 through 52. And they came to Jericho, and he went out to Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. So words are involved here. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. So we don't believe in that confession stuff. Hold your peace. Don't trouble the master. He's not going to do it for you. Hold your peace. You're annoying us. Shut up. The devil thinks you're annoying him with your words. Shut up. Religious people, you're annoying them with your words. Shut up. Confused people telling you to shut up. But I spoke all the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus did what? Stood still. Verse 49. And Jesus stood still. Why did he stand still? Because he heard faith. People heard annoying. People heard a cry. He heard faith. And he commanded him to be called. And they said, now they're all for him. And they said to the blind man, he said unto him, be of good comfort. Rise. He calls you. 50. Isn't it amazing when you believe God and all your relatives think you're crazy, and then when they get in trouble, they call? Hey, everybody. Love you. It's interesting. It's interesting. Then he did something. Back then, this was a garment that approved you to beg. A special robe. He's a beggar. He was allowed to beg. He decided before he went that he didn't need that anymore. I'm not going to be a begging anymore. He casting away his garment. So people know, what is that? he took off his begging clothes because he's not going to need those anymore. That's how sure he is. That's what faith looks like. That's what faith looks like. That's not a show. I'm not doing that for your benefit, because if I'm doing that for your benefit, I'm not getting up out of a wheelchair for your benefit. I'm not throwing away a cane for your benefit. I'm not throwing away medicine for your benefit. I'm not doing it for your benefit. It's what I believe. Casting away his garment, he rose and he came to Jesus. Verse 51. And Jesus answered, said to him, what do you want? The blind man said, I want to receive my sight. Verse 52. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith. It wasn't a healing anointing. It wasn't a healing service. Jesus was just walking. Isn't it interesting, the woman with the issue of blood? Jesus was walking by. The four men, everybody, the power of God was present to heal, but nobody in the house was getting it. But four men, five men decided they were going to get, this man's going to get his healing. Go your way, your faith has made you whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. The 10 lepers, you remember the 10 lepers? Nine of them were Jewish. One was outside of the covenant, and they came to Jesus. And at that time, have mercy on us, son of David. This is in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Have mercy on us. And Jesus said, he gave them an action to do. So Jesus gave them an action to do. If they didn't do that action, they wouldn't be healed. Are you with me? What was the action he gave them? Well, at that time, because they were under the law, he said, you have to go show yourself to the priest. Isn't that weird? Don't go show yourself to a doctor, to a priest. I'm glad those are not my duties today. Hallelujah. I don't want to be checking things out. Go to a doctor. He said, go to the priest and show yourself. And so the 10 of them went, and how many as they went, what happened? The leprosy was healed, it stayed, right? So they were healed as they obeyed the action the Lord gave them. They just didn't stand there. Now, you all know, but understand what I'm saying. They didn't just stand there and just say, thank you. Didn't say, well, we're healed now, we just go home. He said he gave them a specific action to do. What was the action? Go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, everybody say, as they went. See, they went in faith because they had a command from Jesus, the son of David, and they believed what he said, and so they went, and as they went, all 10 of them were healed. But one of them, who wasn't a Jew, turned around and did what? He came back to do what? He came back to give thanks. And Jesus said, where are the other nine? Were not 10 cleansed? But this guy came back to give thanks, and you know what happened to him. So see, there's degrees of stuff. How many if you had leprosy and it was gone, you'd be happy. You could go home, go back to your daily life. No more hanging out with these 10 guys. Hallelujah, I'm going home. But the one just out of gratitude went back and began to thank the Lord. And the Bible says, his faith made him whole. So even in healing, even in receiving from God, there's degrees of things. And let's get past the surface and get it all. So all this stuff works together. And so that's why when I teach this, sometimes I get concerned. People put everything in this little, okay, I got to hear. I got that down. Now I got to believe. Okay, I got that. Now I got to say. Okay, I got that. Now I got to do. Okay. And then Lord, send it on down. And it doesn't work because it's a fluid. The Bible says to just live by faith. This is my life. And then there's thanksgiving. So we teach all these things, but it should be just fluid out of your heart. Not a rigid religion, but just out of our heart. But can you see that doing is very important? Even sometimes, remember when Jesus was preaching and he was in the synagogue. He's kind of ornery sometimes. He was in the synagogue and he knew he was about to make them mad. And he was preaching. And there was a man there that had the withered hand. Y'all remember the man with the withered hand? And they're all going to get mad because Jesus was healing on the Sabbath and all that kind of stuff. But he told the man, we'll maybe start here next week. He told the man first, he told him to stand up. Now, some people miss that. So, well, I don't want to stand up. I want to sit down. But the Lord and the word of the Lord and the will of the Lord is for you to stand up. In other words, well, he's like, I don't want to be seen. I'm just shy. I want to just sit here. Get me what I want the way I want it. But that's not the way this works. The first thing the Lord told him to do was stand up. So without the standing up, there's no reason to go on. Are y'all with me? See, listen, y'all, we know the voice of God. You are his sheep. You know his voice. Romans 8 says that you're, because you're sons of God, you're led by the Spirit of God. So quit pretending like you don't know his voice. Because it's convenient if you want to get away with what you want to get away with. Praise the Lord, preaching good to myself. Hallelujah. Right? Right? You know his voice. Don't talk yourself out of it. Because your miracle may depend on it. Well, I don't want to stand up. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. Well, this is not Burger King. You don't get it your way. No special orders, please. You know what I'm saying? He said, stand up. So what did the man have to do? Everybody say, stand up. And then he had a withered hand. And the way I used to see it was, when Jesus said, stretch forth your hand, I could always just see it like that. And suddenly his hand popped open. But he didn't say, stretch forth your elbow. He didn't say, move your elbow. That's stretching forth your elbow. He told him to do something he couldn't do. Well, I can't do something I could. I can't. What do you mean asking me to do something I can't do? Why do you want me? The Lord's always asking me to do something I can't do. Yeah. And then by your faith, you receive. Well, the Lord told me to pay someone's car payment, but I looked and that's all the money I had. I can't do that. Well, the Lord wouldn't ask you to do it if you couldn't do it. So you go down to zero. But if the Lord's trying to get something to you, your act of obedience starts the miracle. And he's never going to ask you to do something that by your faith you can't do. So this man, his hand is withered, and Jesus said what? Stretch forth your... So the word of the Lord came, told him the action to do, and so what did he have to do? He had to do something that he couldn't do or didn't think he could do. And as he stretched forth his hand, it was made whole. What does that look like for you? What do you want from God? What do you need from God? What have you been waiting on? What's the manifestation that you keep telling everybody you're waiting on? When really, if you go back to it, you should go back and say, Lord, did I miss it somewhere? Don't be religious and all. You don't have to be teary about it. You're not a failure. We're all just learning. But this receiving from God is not difficult. It is not hard. We just make it that way. Lord, show me what I need to do. But don't be trying to, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do this. I'm going to prove to him I'm in faith. You don't need to prove to him nothing. It's not about proving anything. I'm going to prove to them. Sometimes when we do things, we want everybody around us to know, I'm doing this. I'm doing this. You know, are you watching me? I'm doing this because I'm in faith. Well, that's probably not faith at all. That's probably pride. Faith comes from the heart. And faith is between you and God. Others will see it and maybe be inspired by it. But your corresponding action, you believe. Do you believe? If you believe and you're speaking the word, then just look for stuff. See what's in your heart to do. Don't try to imitate somebody. If you try to do exactly what somebody else did and their faith worked, that may not work for you and then you'll get discouraged. But see it. Spend time with the Lord. What do you see yourself doing? And sometimes he may not have to tell you. There's just an action that would naturally or, you know, spiritually, you know what I mean? And that they would just go with it. Well, this is a good one. How many of you believe in vacations? Do you like them? How many of you would like to have a super... Now, y'all, don't be going all at the same time. I got to preach to somebody. But I believe in supernatural vacations. And if I don't have the money, Pastor Mark, I haven't had a vacation in years. I just don't have the money. Well, I would get in my heart what you can believe for, and then I would like make a vision board. That's an action. I used to tell, like I always use this example, I think it's because the first part of my year, I'm so grateful, you know, that Pastor Rhonda, we've got it worked out. But when I remember when we first get married, she had high heels. I don't know why y'all girls need a different pair of shoes for every outfit. What's up with that? And yet those high heels, when they get turned upside down, and if you ever step on them in the middle of the night, it's painful. And so I was always aware of high heels, I guess, after I got married. And so I would tell ladies this, you know, they were having problems with their feet. And I heard this one lady say, I can't wear high heels anymore. And I thought, well, that's a blessing, right? And but she said, no, she wanted to wear them. I said, well, go buy the highest pair of spiked heels you can buy. Set them by your bed and talk to them. I will wear you. And then there's a day when her faith was there, she slipped them on. And she could wear them. Now, this is just, you know, we travel a lot. The reason we have that parking lot is because of right now. I keep going and going and going. We travel a lot to the nations. And, you know, I do a lot now more. Like when I go, it's like day one, I'm preaching in Chile. I just did like 16 to 18 hours in a week. And it's a lot. They say that preaching 1 hour is like 7 hours of physical hard labor. You may not think so, but there's a lot to it. And so when we'd get off the plane coming home from all these nations, I'd walk through business. Have you ever walked through business class? And where they were all just laying down? And they call you by your name? In the back, they say, sit down, shut up. Up front, they say, Mr. Garver, can I get you some warm peanuts? Who ever knew that you could warm a peanut? This is what I used to do, and I'm believing God still because we got more to do. I walked through there, and as I walked through, I laid hands on them, and I said, I will ride in you. I will sit in you when I go on mission trips. I will ride in you. This is where I sit. And it started happening sporadically, and now it's going to happen all the time. Amen. Because it has to. Because I need you to. But I'm using my faith to. Amen. Maybe that's not where you're at. Maybe your faith is, I need an airline ticket. God will do what wherever you're at. Amen? Yeah.